listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, May 15th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, How to Be Full When You're Empty.
That's good. Thank you, young people. Appreciate that. Wasn't that good? Amen? Go back in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I want to speak this morning on how to become full when you're empty. How to become full when you're empty. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, And there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take away. The Bible says, Come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? Now watch what happens here. And she said, Thy handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Empty vessels, borrow not a few. How can we become full when empty? What is there that we could do? Let me give you the story. The story, of course, is during the times when there was the principal prophets that was traveling the land. There was, of course, during the day of Elijah, during the day of Elisha. And there was some sons of the prophets. These sons of the prophets were those that perhaps we could call understudies, though they had many, many other responsibilities and awesome, if you would please, great type of responsibilities. One of the sons of the prophets now is dead. Apparently, he was in debt. Apparently, he had not much money at all. He was in debt. They were coming to him. What they would do back then is if you owed a debt, what they would do is they would come and they would take all of your possessions out of the home and they would liquefy it. In other words, they would turn it into cash. And then, if that would not pay your debt, what they would do is they would come back to see if you had children. And if you had boys, they would take the boys to be men servants. And if you had ladies, they would take the ladies to be lady servants, if you would. And they would take them and they would bring them into the house and they would serve until the debt had been paid. So it wasn't any playing around or bargaining or anything like that. They would simply come and they would just take everything in the house. If you owed the debt, they would sell it. And if the price that was brought, then it would go towards paying the debt, or it would, might even pay the debt off and you have some money left over. And if that perhaps did not meet the debt, then they would look and they would see if you had male or female. They would take the male to be male servants and the female to be female servants, and they would work. They would become bond servants, if you will. They would become servants of a house until the debt had been completely paid out. And that's the way debts were paid back then. I want us to notice some things here about how God uses emptiness in a person's life. Now, no doubt you in your life has at one time or another faced some empty times. No doubt in your life at one time or another you have faced some low times in your life. It might be because of somebody going home to be with the Lord or a relative dying. It might be because now there's some financial reversal that's inside of your household. It might be because you studied hard for a grade and perhaps you did not get the grade that you thought you would obtain. It might be because you had a certain idea about receiving or getting into a position at a job and you really was looking forward to it and hoping that you would get that particular position in that job. But then what took place is you went to get the job, secure the job was now gone. Might have been any one of those things that creates emptiness or even something that you're thinking about right now. But how is it that God uses emptiness in our life? Take your Bible and go to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1 and notice this morning. The Bible says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. And so her husband was an understudy. Her husband was a son, if you would please, of the prophet. He was somebody that knew the Bible. He was somebody that practiced the Bible. But I want you to understand this. The Bible says the sons of the prophets, it says, on to Elisha. So she comes running to the man of God, one of the greatest prophets of that day. The Bible says, thy servant, thy husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take, watch what it says, to take unto him my two sons as bondmen. And so here you'll see something in this lady's house. She had a very empty life. I mean, there wasn't anything that she could grasp a hold of right now in her life. If there was a time that you could look at one person and say they had hit rock bottom, it would have been this lady at this time in her life. She had nothing to grab a hold of. The home has already now been ravished in all of that which she had as her possessions, whether they would have been something that was sacred to her and her husband, as something that was, if you would please, a memorabilia of a trip that they had taken as a young couple, maybe on a honeymoon or whatever. Everything in the home is now gone. I mean, there's not a piece of furniture to set on. There's not anything whatsoever. And everything is now gone. Now watch this, if you will. Watch me, if you will. And so now all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. That knock at the door, when she goes to the door, is now a creditor that is standing there. That creditor comes knowing good and well that that person has now liquidated everything out of the home in order to be able to pay off the payment or the debt that is due. And now comes to take the bondmen, the men out of the house to become bondmen. And so now she is facing something in her life. And what is that? She is empty inside of her life. I mean, she is completely empty inside of the life. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if there's ever been a time in your life where you just felt like that you were all alone. I don't know if there's ever been a time in your life when you just felt like that the world that you once knew was caving in around you. I don't know if there's ever been a time in your life when you just felt like all your friends had forsaken you, all hope was gone, and there was nothing but despair that you were facing inside of your life. Now watch me, if you will. Nobody else leave. Nobody else leave. Listen to me. She was empty in her life. Empty in her life. Statement number one. Statement number two, she was empty in her house. Notice what the Bible says. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Now, by the way, she ran immediately to somebody that she knew could help her. The Bible says, tell me, what hast thou in the house? So he's trying to prompt her to think. There's something inside of the house that you do have. Now, what is in the house that you could use to be able to meet your present need? The Bible says, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, we know, according to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, that there was also a handful of meal in the bottom of the barrel. We know that. So she had just a little pot of oil and just a handful of meal in the bottom of the barrel. But you'll be amazed at what God can do with little things. You remember the story of the lad that was walking along, and this lad, all he had was just five little barley loaves or five little biscuits, if you would, made out of the poorest elements that loaves could be made out of in that day. And so he had five little barley loaves and just two small fishes. And I believe it was Andrew probably that came up to him, and just because of the characteristic of what took place. And so here comes Andrew up to him, if you would, and takes of the barley loaves and takes of the fishes of the lad and gives it to the Lord, and the Lord takes that and he blesses that, and God multiplies that and feeds 5,000 plus people. You know, little is much when God is in it. You see, it doesn't matter if you look in your household and you see that it's empty, and you look in your life and you see that it's empty. You remember Moses? Moses had just a little rod, but he took that little rod and God put that rod in his hand, just a little rod, but it was that rod that he would take and he would use, and it was through God's power and through God's working, but yet that rod was symbolic of what God was going to do through the life of Moses as the plagues would come to Egypt, as he would take that rod and he would put it down at the Red Sea, and the Red Sea did part. As he would take that rod, if you would, and be able to give drink, or be able to give leadership, or if you would, be able to salvage the lives of 4 million Jews for 40 years in the backside of the desert. I'm saying little is much when God is really in it. You may look at your life and you may say your life is empty. You may look at your life and you may say that your house is empty. But I'm telling you that when we take the little that God has given us and we put that back in his hand and we say, God, this is all I've got, but God, I give it to you and I ask you to use it for your honor and for your glory and to meet the needs that I have in my life, you'll stand back and you'll marvel at what God does in your life. Statement number one, here's what we see. She was empty in her life. Statement number two, she was empty as far as she knew in her house. Statement number three, God sends her to find more emptiness. Now we would think, boy, that is crazy. Why does God send a lady that's empty to find more emptiness? Because when you start looking out and you start seeing that there's other people out there just as empty as you are, it's an encouragement to understand you're not walking down your path alone. And so what God does is God says, okay, I'm going to teach you some viable lessons in your life. You notice God did not send her out to find fullness. But you notice that God sent her out to find emptiness. You notice that God did not send her out to find blessing. But God sent her out to find more emptiness. Why? Because it's in the emptiness that you find in other people's life that most of the time God will answer the needs in your life. Notice this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, and he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Empty vessels, borrow not a few. Can you imagine? Here she is, and she's kind of feeling maybe a little bit sorry for herself, and she's kind of feeling a little bit down, and she's kind of feeling a little bit like, wow, I just don't know what's going to happen. And then she visits one neighbor and finds out that they got empty vessels too. And then she goes over and she visits another neighbor and finds out that they got empty vessels too. And then you visit somebody else and find out they got empty vessels too. And you begin to realize that, wow, everybody has challenges and everybody has some temptations and everybody has problems and you're not in it by yourself. Somebody looks out around them and they say, well, I'm carrying this burden all by myself. And that is not true. There's other people that face the same burdens in their life. Here's what God's doing. God is getting her out of looking inward and teaching her to look outward. God is teaching her, don't sit around the house and mope about it. Don't sit around the house and cry about it. Don't sit around the house and get down about it. Don't sit around the house and look at your problem and stare at your problem. Don't sit around the house and allow that problem to be that which is over top of you where you see no way out. Get out. Get out and go find somebody else. Get out and find somebody else that's facing the same problems in their life. Get out and let me work through you. Now, wait a minute. One good thing she did is she went to that man of God and she allowed that man of God to try and help her. And he's the one that says, go to the neighbors. Go to those people out there and you're going to find out. Are you listening to me? You're here this morning and you say, my marriage is not going great. But I promise you, if you get out and you look around, you're going to find some other people that's having marital distress. You're here this morning, you say, but my business is not going well. But if you go out and you see other people, you're going to find that other people's businesses are also having difficulty. The problem is when we start to look inward. You know, an inward look always gives despair. An inward look always makes the problem look bigger than it really is. Here's what you see. The Bible teaches here that she was empty in her life. I mean, everything that she loved and cherished is now gone. Everything. Now they're coming after her own sons to take them as bondmen. Everything that she could touch, everything that she could love, everything that was an endearment to her heart, everything that meant something to her, whether it was something that was a monumental type of thing or something, if you would please, that was of a great gratitude that she had, everything in her life is now going to be gone. So now she runs to the prophet and she says, what do I do? He tries to remind her, you do have something in the house. There is something in the house. I mean, God has been good to you. You know, here's what we do. We compare ourselves among ourselves, and God says some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we compare ourselves among ourselves and we say, boy, I wish I had, and I wish I had, and I wish I could accomplish, and I wish that I could possess, and I wish that that was mine. Wouldn't it be a good thing if we would just become satisfied with what God gave us? Wouldn't it be good if we became satisfied with the way that God made us? Wouldn't it be good if we understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made? I'm saying this morning that we understand that she was empty in her life. We understand that she was empty in her house. But what does God do? God does not send her out to find fullness. God does not send her out to find blessing. God does not send her out to get a pat on the back. God does not send her out to be able to receive the accolades of praise that somebody might lay down at her feet. And God does not want her to go out to find pity. But God is saying, here's what I want you to do. Go to your neighbor. And you're going to find out that your neighbors, many of them, are in the same predicament that you're in. He's trying to get her to look out and see that there is a big problem. Why? Because wherever there's a big problem, you've got a bigger God than the problem. And I'm telling you this morning that when you see that God can not only take care of your problem, but God can take care of everybody's problem, you're better off. See, God is getting ready to show her a valuable lesson. God is getting ready to show her, if she goes out and she gets away from this, but she starts looking at this out here, that God could even use her to be able to be a blessing in other people's lives. Hello? God could use, come on. Person sits around, has self-pity. What are they good for? Mostly nothing. But a person looks out and they see that, wow, there's somebody that's struggling just like me. There's somebody having a hard time just like me. Here's what the Bible says. Notice what takes place. She goes out. She gets the vessels. She has her boys involved. She's not letting her boys sit around and have pity either. She said, we got to be busy. We're not going to stare at our problems, but there's other people out there that need help too. Amen. Matter of fact, she tries to help them so much. You know what she does? Talk about complicating the issue. Not only does she have problems, but she sends her boys out to go bring everybody else's problems to their house. I mean, come on. Are you nuts? So she says, boys, I want you to go out and find all the other neighbors that have problems too. I want you to go out and find everybody else that's empty. I want you to go out and find everybody else that has an empty vessel. And what I want you to do is I want you to grab their vessels. And I want you to bring them on. You know why? Because she knew, I believe, coming up in a preacher's home, she heard that Bible over and over and over again. We know that she had a certain trust in God because as soon as she understood the problem, she didn't run to somebody else, but that which was a student of God's word, she ran to the best student of God's word that she could find, and she went in and said, what do I do? And the man of God says, yeah, that's what you do. I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what God does. God sends her to find more emptiness. And so, now, by the way, it doesn't make sense, does it? Well, preacher, I'm feeling kind of low. Then what do? Then you find somebody else that's feeling kind of low. But preacher, I'm having marital distress. What can I do? Realize there's others that's having marital distress. Well, preacher, my job, financial reversal, it's just not going well. But there's others facing the same thing. Come on. Somebody said, I felt sorry for myself when I had no shoes until I found a man that had no feet. See, here's what the Bible teaches. Notice this. Statement number one, she was empty in her life. You ever been there? Statement number two, she was empty in her house. She looked inside her house and said, there's nobody that can help me. All I've got is these boys. But you notice she didn't wait. Bondsman knocks at the door. What does she do? Immediately, she is sending those boys out to gather all the vessels up. She's not waiting. Sometimes, are you listening? Faith without works is dead. We said, well, we're going to trust God and we're just going to pray. But sometimes God wants you to pray as you work. We're going to trust God and we're just going to pray that it's all right. But sometimes you've got to put your feet in the right direction and start walking. Oh, wait a minute. Watch this. She was empty in her life. Statement number one. Statement number two. She was empty in her house. Statement number three. God sends her to more emptiness. Well, can it get any worse than this? Maybe. God sends her out to see more empty. Jesus lifted up his eyes, looked on the multitudes. Watch me. Then he was moved with compassion. By the way, did you notice Jesus did not take a survey to see who he should feed and who he should not feed? He didn't say, well, I wonder who's following me wholeheartedly. No, they just showed up and he said, I'll take care of them. I'll just take care of them. Whoever shows up. You know, Jesus even ate with publicans and sinners. But you know, they're not just like me. Well, that's a duh. You know, he went out and he helped everybody. He loved everybody. He encouraged everybody. Now, there was only a few that followed him. There was only a few that was dedicated. But Jesus said, look, as long as they're here, I'm going to meet their need. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to try and help them. And the closer that a person gets to Jesus, the more help that they get. All right, watch this. Here's what the Bible says. Look at it. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, and he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. They're not leaving anybody out. And by the way, he knew that the neighbors were having same trouble. By the way, we're all paying for the same gas price. We're all paying for the same electricity. For us that are married, there's challenges. For us that have children, there's challenges. For us that work, challenges. You're going to have challenges all the days of your life. But if you look inward, those challenges can overcome you. And so you can't necessarily look inward. You can't be one that looks just inside of the house. And if you look inside of the house and there's great disparity, are you listening to me? Realize that there's disparity in other people's houses. Oh, watch this. Chapter 4, verse 3. He said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. He didn't say, hey, look, go over there. They got extra. They'll probably give you some. He didn't say, look, go over there. They got plenty. Just go stand close to them. Let them know your burden. He didn't say that. He said, I want you to go out and just find all the... See, God is the one that wanted to do the miracle. See, now watch this. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. She's making sure the boys are going to see it. She's not shutting the door upon herself and then getting in there all by herself. And as she gets in there all by herself, huddled up over top of those vessels and begins to pray and say, oh, dear God. No, she wants to show those boys that God is true. By the way, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. There's going to be a day, that word old means state of maturity. There's going to be a day when your child matures enough that they remember the way that they were trained. My responsibility as a godly parent is to help my children know the way that they should go. How do I do that? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a child is known by his doings. A child is known, ushers, you help me, would you? A child is known by his doing. All right, now wait a minute. So here's what it's talking about. The Bible's talking about how that you and I are not supposed to have that inward look, but you and I are supposed to have that outward look. But when we look outward, you're going to see vessels, not a few. Now, let me explain something. When we have church, if a child goes out, we don't want children going out by themselves for protection. I'm not being mean. But we live in a mean world, and you don't know who's in the hallways nowadays if we're in here. And so when a child goes out, we get some of our men. I'm not being mean. I'm being protective. So don't think I'm being mean. I'm just trying to help. Okay? Now watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. And we do that because we love people. All right? 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 5. The Bible says, so she went from him and shut the door. It says, upon her and upon her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. All right, so what takes place? What takes place is that she brought the vessels in. When she brought the vessels in, the boys are going to be there. You know what he's doing? He is telling her, don't leave your boys out of a spiritual decision. Let your boys see what I'm about to do. Now look, if we let our boys and we let our girls and we let our children see the low times in their life, should we not also let our boys and our little girls see the high times in their life? There's been many times at a family altar time that we'd get on our knees or we'd sit there and we would pray and we would and we list things that God has, we have in our need that only God can take care of. And may I say that it is also good, and we've done this, to share the blessings of God, what God has done. You know, when God answers prayer, it's a good thing to be able to share it with the family. All right, watch this, if you will. The Bible says in verse 6 and 7, and I'm done. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said unto her sons. So she's bringing one of the sons in, singular, not plural, one of the sons. She says unto her son. So there's a go-getter. There's the one that goes out and brings another one in. Goes out, bring involved, working. The Bible says, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Now notice the oil did not stay until they ran out of vessels. If they would have had 20 more vessels sitting outside, the oil would not have stayed. They would have 40 more vessels sitting outside, the oil would not have stayed. The oil did not, God's provision is limitless. God can take and meet your need if you simply trust him. See, I believe that God was trying to teach her, now look, I can fill that vessel in your house, no problem, but what about your neighbors? Don't they need to see me working also? What about your boys? Doesn't your boys need to see me working also? See, we have a God that wants to show himself strong in everybody's life. Look at it in verse 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, and when she came and told the man of God, he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt. All right, so she's going to give her tithe. She's going to get her offering. She's going to pay the debt that she owes to the creditors. Pay thy debt and live thou and thy children on the rest. All right, so saying this, that I can take care of you. All right, let me give you some closing thoughts and I'm done. When you see your emptiness, somebody else also sees your emptiness. Just like when she was there, went out, saw everybody else's emptiness. There was neighbors that knew that she was empty. So when you're empty, people know it. The Lord was coming through the garden and said unto Cain, why hast thou countenance fallen? Why is your countenance fallen? Thine countenance, why is it fallen? Okay, and so when there's emptiness, sometimes other people see it too. Statement number two, realize that you don't have emptiness all by yourself. There's others that's going through it. Statement number three, and so when you visit other people and you see that they have emptiness, it might encourage your heart only temporarily. Why? Because it might encourage you. Okay, somebody else has the same problem as me. Wow. But that's just going to be a temporary type of encouragement. We don't need temporary encouragement. We need fulfillment. Wait a minute. Statement number four. The problems, listen to me now, only provides a greater room for a greater miracle. The bigger the problem, the greater room for the miracle. So if I got a greater problem, I can have a greater miracle that God works in my life. A greater prayer that's answered, that God does in my life. All right, wait a minute, watch this. So what do I do? Here's what she did. First, she got her preacher involved. Now, why? Because the preacher spends his life directing lives. So she thought, well, I'm going to go to the man of God that's spent his life directing other people's lives. Perhaps he can direct my life. What does she do? She gets the preacher involved. Why? Because he spends his life solving other people's problems. That's all he does. Okay, watch. You go to the dentist and he's used to drilling. That's all he does all day long. Drill, cap, drill, cap, drill, cap, fill, 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 fill. That's all he does. So it becomes secondhand. when you go to a preacher, he spends his life counseling people, showing solutions, showing it's secondhand. It's something, if you would please. Okay, so you counsel a bunch of people and you see that this works 9 out of 10 times. Even lines up with the Bible truth. So then you can feel pretty comfortable as a man of God saying, I think you ought to go down that way. Why? Same way with a doctor. Doctor gives you some meds and it works 9 out of 10 times. He feels pretty confident. It's probably going to help you too. Same principle. So when you go to the man of God and he's used to solving people's problems, or he's used to solving, if you would please, complex issues, they say, oh yeah, I've already dealt with 2,000 people's had the same struggle. It's okay. Hey, look, just want to let you know, everybody faces it. But out of the 2,000 people that faced it, let me tell you, there's been a good solution for 1,942 of them. Here's what they did, and they got a good solution. Might work for you too. So what does she say? She goes to the man of God. Why? Because he's used to counseling people, directing people's lives, solving problems. He knows God on a personal basis. I mean, he's got a direct contact. You say, well, I do too. A little bit different. Here's a guy who studies the law books. Why do you go to him? Because you read them too, but you can only read them casually. You're busy. Man, you work and you work and you work and you work and you work. But if you get a man of God that spends his time with his nose in the book, then what takes place is he knows the right direction to point. That's why she went to him. Watch it. Statement number one. Oh, I got the preacher involved. Statement number two. Got the family involved. Wasn't hidden. Was not hidden. What does that mean? It means, okay, look, man, we got a challenge. Might be a financial problem. Might be whatever. All right. And so what we do, I can't put the swing set together. Got a big problem. Whether it's minor or major, when you get the family involved, it helps. Well, there's been times when I was on my knees, and Jonathan will testify to this. I was on my knees. I was praying about a church situation or something like that. Are you listening to me? And all of a sudden, there's a burden that overwhelms me. I remember him and Joshua coming in at different occasions when I was praying about something, tears coming down my face, putting their hands on their daddy's shoulder and saying, it's going to be okay. It's just going to be okay. They see a dad that's real. They see a dad that goes soul winning. They see a dad that preaches. But they see a dad that's not a phony type of person, and he's real. Everybody has problems. Everybody has difficulties. To cover it up. Hey, I'm telling you, to cover it up. You don't get people's help like you need it. Now, I'm not saying go spill the beans to your kids when they're small. You go to your kid and say, well, I got this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. You know? And the kid is like, oh, what do I do? You know, you don't want to do that. But at the same time, these are older boys. These are mature boys. These are young men. So much so, they were going to become bondsmen. That's how old they were. So these were younger men living at home. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with helping your parents out when you become older. I submit to you, there should not be a daddy in this room that has to mow his own lawn when he has older boys. I submit to you, there shouldn't be a daddy in this room that has to take out the trash when he has older boys. Be good for some of our older girls to learn to cook. Why? It's called survival for a future husband. All right? And so here's what we see. There's that family involvement. The family was involved. These are older guys. She said, look, help me out. Your dad's gone. Help me out. Here's what you need to do. I'm telling you, help me out. And so you go do this. What did they do? They brought the vessels in. They said, Mama, there's not any more. And then that's when God began to bless. Watch this. And so there's family involvement. Statement number one, there's that preacher involvement. Statement number two, family involvement. Now listen to me. And so there wasn't a place to look for an exit. They were looking for an entrance. Then there's other people involved. Man, there's all sorts of other families involved. All sorts of other people involved. And that's what God wants us to have in our life. And let me give you a last statement. Never forget what God does when he delivers you from a problem. Never forget it. I mean, always remember what God does. Tell your friends about it. Can you imagine? This was a poor widow woman. You know, news travels in a small village. Did you know that? Small town, news travels. I mean, it just travels. She's in a small place. I mean, everybody knew that her husband was a preacher. Everybody knew it. Small place. Knew that he was one of the sons of the prophet. Small. By the way, that was just a small group of men. So, I mean, everybody knew it. All of a sudden, husband dies. Imagine there's people at the funeral wondering, I wonder what she's going to do. Then all of a sudden, they see that the creditor shows up. Somebody comes over to get some goat milk or something. Goat's gone. I mean, everything's gone. All the furniture's gone. Then all of a sudden, it's worded about, boy, there was somebody knocking at her door this morning, says the nosy neighbor to the right. The lady peeking through the Jewish curtains across the street looks over and says, ooh, she's in trouble. I know that guy. I remember that guy. Boy, he's over there knocking at the door. And whoa. I mean, he is after her stuff. Comes out, takes all of it. Takes all, it's gone. Then all of a sudden he comes back. Same guy. Comes back and starts. So what does she do? Man, she runs to the man of God. She said, look, I don't have anything at all. I don't know what to do. And they came knocking. They came knocking. I know what they're wanting. They're wanting my boys. They came knocking. And I think she ran to the man of God and said, what do I do? And the man of God said, here's what you do. First off, you consider what's in your house. Do you have anything in the house? Then he said, okay, go out and borrow emptiness. Well, that's encouraging. God bless you, preacher. We can tell you walk with God. What do you mean go out and borrow emptiness? You go out and you borrow emptiness. When you're empty, you go out and you borrow, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You go out and you borrow so that God can do great things. Okay, watch, I'm done. Here's what we do. We have one little problem in our life, and we stare at it. We just stare at it. Oh, and it irritates. And God said, wait a minute, you shouldn't be staring at the little problem in your life. What you should be doing is going out, finding other people that's got problems, bring their problems home with you. Oh, thanks a lot, God. Well, you're really thinking of me now, aren't you? So I go out, but I'm going to do what you said. You're God, I'm man. You know more than I. You created this place. All right? So I go out, and I get everybody's problems. I bring them back home. All right, I get my boys involved. Boys, you go over there, get all the empty vessels, bring them in. But mom, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense. God is God. So go out and get all the empty vessels. Get them all. Just go over. Go all the neighbors, it says. Go out there and get them all in. Come on, just get all the vessels and bring them back. You imagine what those boys thought? I don't think they thought mom flipped. I think they thought, you know, we remember dad doing some strange stuff, but God answered prayer. Remember dad stepping out by faith, and this is the first time mom's had a real challenge in her life. This is mom's first opportunity to trust God in a big way. And we're not going to, we're going to do whatever mama says. They go out and they get all the vessels, they bring them in, and she says, hey, come on in here, guys. Come on, I want you to see what God's going to do. Can you imagine the wow? Can you imagine? Wow, what amazing God is, as all of a sudden all the vessels begin to overflow, and all the vessels, they just poured out, and they poured out, and they poured out, and there's still more, and there's plenty for the rest of the days of their life. Why? Simply because they decided they weren't going to sit around and suck their thumb. They decided they were not going to be somebody, if you will, please, that just looks at that one thing that's, no, here's what they decided. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get all the other vessels. I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to do what mama said. And they did what mama said. And because they did what mama said, boy, all of a sudden, God began to fill all the vessels. Can you imagine people showing up now? They go in there. Now, by the way, no furniture. I mean, it's all been liquidated. Can you imagine people showing up and saying, boy, I'd like to come get my empty vessel. Well, go ahead. There's 150 right in the living room. There's another 20 in the bathroom. Got about 40 in the bedroom, 30 in the other bedroom, about 25 in the other bedroom. We even got some others that's sitting outside. We had to take them outside. Wasn't enough room. Boy, God's been good. See, God can take you from where you are to where he wants you to be if you travel down his path. And God wants to work through you, not just to meet your need, but God wants to work through you to meet. Can you imagine? She will always remember. I love this about my life. Wasn't raised in a Christian home, wasn't a believer, but I will never forget where I came from. Never. And I'm always amazed, Brother Fenton, where God has brought me to. Always amazed. And I look back at the wonderful saving grace of God when I could be burning in hell right now. And I'm not. In the summertime, I'll be burning in Texas. But you listen to me. I can always look back and I can say, boy, I remember. I don't deserve where I'm at right now, but I do remember. God, you've given me some truth to be able to help my wife and be able to help my children. Might not be a great servant, but I think I can obey that. God, I don't know if I can trust everybody, but I learned one thing. I can sure trust you. So God, it doesn't have to make sense to me. I don't have to understand it. I preached yesterday morning to our leaders in our soul winning room on cause and effect. God, I don't have to necessarily see the effect. I just need to obey the cause. And did you know it's important that when I obey what God tells me to do, that my family get involved? My family get, we traveled America. I'm done. Last illustration. Traveled America for 12 years. Somebody said, well, why didn't you fly out a lot and leave your wife at home? I wanted her to see the hard times. Reality. And I wanted her to be blessed by the good times. Well, what about all those times you had to sleep in certain places? What about those boys? What about that little girl? They needed to see the hard times. We're a family. Family serve God together. And I wanted them to see the blessings. Now, because of that, so far, I think that they're not cocky. So far, I think they're servants. I think they're trying. I think they're trying to show somebody how to be saved. I think they're trying to sing. I think they're trying to do what's right. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. I'm saying when the emptiness comes, maybe we ought not to look right here. No matter what causes the emptiness, maybe we ought to look out here. Boy, there's other people got it too. God, could you use me to help those? I mean, I need to help myself, but is there a way to help? Is there a way to show these people out here possibly that you're also good? Is there a way that you could fill their vessels, even though I'm going to borrow, but is there a way that they could get word that their vessels were full too? Is there a way that maybe the blessings you've given me could be outpoured to somebody else? Is there a way? See, God wants to use us.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.